In my years growing up, and even in the early years of Amy and I being married, I did a lot of hunting and a lot of fishing. I even tried my hand at ice fishing a couple of times, but never had much luck on the ice. I soon found out, though, being from Wisconsin, ice fishing was not as much about catching fish as it was an opportunity to drink. And if I really wanted a drink, I'd rather sit on my couch than on some lake freezing my you-know-what off. So I didn't really see the point in ice fishing. I did eventually, though, buy a small John boat, a 14-footer, I think. I could load it into the bed of my pickup truck and then drive to any one of the many lakes that surrounded us. I like to go out really, really early in the morning when the lake was really calm, you know, like around dawn. I really never had the desire to go to like Lake Michigan or any of those other big lakes. I am not a swimmer, and I felt way more comfortable on a lake where I could see the shore. And if a sudden storm were to come up, I could be to safety within just a few minutes. In today's gospel reading, the disciples find themselves in the midst of a storm, battered by the waves, as Jesus sleeps in the back of the boat. Even for them as experienced fishermen, the situation seems hopeless. They were surrounded by this turmoil of waves and the uncertainty that they were going to survive. Yet, as we will see, Jesus had a plan, and his presence brings peace in the midst of a storm. The scene unfolds with the disciples embarking on this journey across the Sea of Galilee with Jesus. The time that day had been exhausting for them. Jesus had spent that day teaching parables to the crowd, and now he sought to go across the sea to the other side. The disciples, many of whom were experienced fishermen, were well aware of the Sea of Galilee's temperament. The sea was situated below sea level and surrounded by mountains. It is notorious for sudden and fierce storms. Cold air from the mountains can settle over the warm air of the sea, and in that mix they create violent storms. This particular storm must have been exceptionally severe, as many of the experienced fishermen were absolutely terrified. The passage describes the suddenness and the intensity of the storm. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat so that the boat was already filling. From verse 37, all of us have been in some terrible storms, tornadoes close by, lightning and thunder crashing all around. So we can sort of imagine this scene, darkness covering the boat, the howling wind, the waves crashing over the sides, filling the boat with water. The disciples are struggling, their faces are showing fear and desperation. Their expertise as fishermen offered no relief against the power of this storm. They are helpless, battling against nature's fury, and their fear escalates to pure panic. And in their distress, the disciples turn to Jesus, who is astonishingly asleep on a cushion in the back of the boat. Afraid for their lives, they wake him up and say to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Their question reveals not only their fear, but the sense that Jesus has abandoned them. They felt that Jesus, their teacher, their leader, didn't even care about them. After all, he was sleeping on a cushion in the stern of the boat. In their minds, the storm was so extreme, they were on the brink of dying. And Jesus' apparent lack of concern just increased their terror. However, Jesus' presence in the boat signifies a powerful truth. Even when he seems silent, he is with us. His ability to sleep through the storm is not a sign that he didn't care, that he was indifferent, but a testament to the divine peace and authority that he has. He knows the outcome. He is in control. And even when the situation seems hopeless to us, he is still in control. He still knows the outcome. This reminds us that the storms in our lives that are inevitable, we are not alone. Jesus is with us, even when he seems silent. Our cries for help do not go unheard, and his presence is a constant assurance for us. The storm in the sea teaches us to turn to Jesus in our fears, trusting that he has power to calm the storm and bring us peace. Jesus responds to the disciples' cries to help with immediate and authority. Verse 39 says, "And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, 'Peace, be still.' And the wind ceased, and there was great calm." With just three words, the raging storm is transformed into this great calm. The miracle not only showcases his divine power, but also his deep love, his deep care for the disciples. Jesus doesn't chastise them. He doesn't scold them for their fear before addressing the storm. No, instead, he first brought peace to their terrifying situation. This moment is decisive. Jesus' command over these natural elements reveals his divine authority. The wind and the waves obey him. Jesus' command of this storm also invites us to place our faith in him, even when the circumstances that surround us seem disastrous. His presence with the disciples in the boat is always a reminder that he is with us, even when he seems silent. Our faith is often tested by the storms in this life, but it is in these moments specifically that we are called to trust in our Savior, trust in Jesus' power and his promise to never leave us. And in reflecting on this narrative, we are encouraged to take a look at our own faith. Are we like the disciples, quick to panic and slow to trust? Or can we learn to rest in the assurance that Jesus is in control, even when the waves of life threaten to overwhelm us? His calmness in the storm is not just a display of his divine power, but it is a profound invitation for us to deepen our faith and our trust in him. As we face our own storms, let us remember Jesus' words, "Peace, be still," and find comfort in his presence and in his authority. He is the source of true peace, and he invites us to trust in him completely, knowing that he can calm any storm in our life and bring us through safely to the other side. And this scene illustrates that Jesus is not just a prophet or a teacher. He is Lord over all creation. In the ancient Near East culture, the sea often symbolized chaos and uncontrollable power. By calming the storm, Jesus demonstrates he has dominion over the most chaotic and uncontrollable forces. This miracle should bring understanding to the disciples' mind that Jesus is indeed the Son of God, possessing divine authority over all the natural world. And just as the wind and the sea obeyed Jesus without hesitation, we as believers are called to respond to God's word with that same readiness, with that same trust. When Scripture speaks to our hearts offering direction or even correction, our response should be one of immediate obedience and faith. This passage encourages us to immerse ourselves in Scripture, allowing the words of Jesus to speak to those storms in our lives. This same voice that calmed the Sea of Galilee speaks through the pages of the written word, through the Bible, offering us comfort, offering us direction. By grounding ourselves in God's word, we align ourselves with His will and experience that peace which surpasses all understanding. After calming the storm, Jesus turns to His disciples and He asks this profound question: why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? This question is both a scolding for them and a teaching moment. Despite having witnessed numerous miracles and having heard His teachings, the disciples failed to have faith in the face of the storm. Now, fear is a natural human response to danger, but Jesus' question implies that their fear was misplaced, given who He is. The disciples had just seen Jesus heal the sick, cast out demons, perform other miracles, yet they struggled to trust in Him fully when their lives were at risk. Jesus understands our weaknesses. He understands our fears. But He calls us to rise above them by trusting in His presence and His power. Faith is not the absence of fear, but the courage to trust in Jesus above everything else. Hebrews 11:1 defines faith as the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. True faith is believing in God's promises, believing in God's presence, even when we can't see the outcome. It is trusting that God is in control, even when the situation seems desperate to us. In our own lives, storms come in various forms: illness, financial hardships, relationship issues, or other personal crisis. These challenges test our faith and reveal where we place our trust. Do we rely on our own strength or understanding? Or do we turn to Jesus, who has the power to calm our storms? Jesus' question to His disciples is a question for us as well. Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith? To strengthen our faith, we must continually turn to Jesus, especially during our trials. Trials are not meant to break us, but to build us up. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4 encourages us with these words: count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Through these trials that we endure, we learn to rely more and more on Jesus and grow in our trust in His care. They call us to move beyond fear and to trust in Him completely. Through every trial, our faith is strengthened. We grow closer to our Savior, the same Savior who commands the wind and the waves and brings peace to our souls. In this life, we will undoubtedly encounter storms that test our faith and also challenge our trust in God. These storms are not meant to destroy us, but to draw us closer to Him, to deepen our faith, to remind us of His sovereign power. Just as Jesus calmed the storm in the Sea of Galilee, He speaks peace into our lives today. When we call out to Him in our distress, He hears us, and He responds with His calming presence. He is with us in every storm, guiding us and ensuring us that our little John boat will reach the safety of the other shore. Trust in God and in Jesus' name. Amen.